League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Quick shot, score! The U.S. with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid, gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into hour number two. We're still taking your phone call, 713-780-3776. You can also text us. Do you have something to say? Show brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorney, is going to work for you 24-7. Nobody wants to get in an accident. We've talked about this repeatedly. But if you do, you got to get representation. You got to get somebody who's going to fight for you. You get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, boat. Maybe you drive an 18-wheeler. Maybe you work construction. It's a nervy time. Nobody wants to see injury to themselves or family members or someone you work with. That's when you call the Daspit Law Firm at 713-322-HURT, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual, DaspitLaw.com. They're on your side. Again, 713-322-HURT, DaspitLaw.com. Supporting Soccer Matters, the great game of football, and they're going to be all over it like us at the station here during the World Cup, which, by the way, is right around the corner. That's hard to believe. It's less than 100 days away. That's pretty crazy. Okay, so on a positive note from the Dynamo game, Corey Baird got his first goal. Nelson Quiñones got his debut for the Dynamo. And I don't know if you remember when Asher Mendelson was on the show and he was talking about Quiñones. But one of the things he did point out, and I asked him, is he the finished product? Because he's young, he's 19, he's only played 20 times for Once Caldas. But... you know, we talked about him, and I said, okay, what's kind of the plan with him? And one of the things he did say when it came to quality that he has, qualities, or I don't know, some things, criteria in his game was, look, he's aggressive, he's not afraid. And I think we saw that in the Minnesota United game. Came off the bench, dribbled a few people, took a few people on. I think that's one of the positives there for the young 19-year-old who came on for the Dynamo in Minnesota. But outside of that, my gosh, it's hard. I mean, it's a game you controlled. It's a game you lose late again. And you have to talk about mentality. And I'll even go back to that goal. Are people talking? Are the center backs pulling people in late in those stages of that game? Is there communication going on? You know, you're looking at midfielders who, you know, slightly to their left and deeper is the ball. And they're looking at guys in midfield that at the moment aren't dangerous. You just have to drop into these spaces. Protect your two defenders who are out there going two against two against Minnesota United. But the communication, it's obviously wasn't there. People were not alert. So I think it's hard. You know, look, I think back to games that I played in and shouting at midfielders and keeping people alert and trying to help everybody get through a game and manage out a game and have the confidence to finish it. But we have no finishing power. We just can't finish a game. Can't play 90 minutes. And to do what you did to Minnesota for the prior 75 minutes of that game, to take them out of that packed house, you know, that's a positive. But, you know, kind of, you got to finish it. You got to take what's yours. You know, you deserved it. Take what's yours. But this is a mentality thing. This is a communication thing. And it may be just you don't have enough of those kind of players on the team. And you must continue to overhaul the roster. I think you're seeing, you know, in the beginning of the year, in the middle of the year, you didn't hear Paulo referring to that as much. Now you are hearing that more. And again, it's unlikely sources making the mistakes. It's hard. It's tough. And Minnesota United was frustrated. There's no doubt about that. And Reynoso and Adrian Heath, they were moaning about all kinds of things, talking to the referee. You could see it on their faces. By the way, you know, I was talking about you and Arsenal, Andrew. We'll take your phone calls, too. 713-780-3776 or text us. 713-780-3776. I was talking about your gestures, your facial expressions throughout my time knowing you and you doing such a good job on the show when we would talk about Arsenal when they weren't doing well. That is like going to be the next big thing now, data-wise, that they're going to now look at the gestures of faces on players to glean some sort of data that tells you if it's good or not to sign them, which I just think is the biggest crock of you-know-what. But it's going to happen. I see guys that look angry a whole game and play well. I see guys that look really happy that don't play well. So I don't know what that's about, but that is another new thing that's down the pipeline. So put on a happy face.
That's incredible. That's for real. That's something that's going to happen?
It's only for real if some – it's going to happen, but it's only for real – people, I mean, are they that paranoid when they're assessing a soccer player now that you, well, let's go check the footage on, you know, William Smith from so-and-so club. And, you know, we got to make sure that his facial gestures are in line with what our policy is in order to sign him. And, you know, is it just another fallback position? I don't know. It's bizarre.
No, that's extremely strange. But I think, Glenn, to refute your point just ever so slightly, I think that you can read the emotions of players a little bit and see, hey, are they bought in or not? When I watch teams go to celebrate a goal and I see the majority of the team go out into the corner and join the goal scorer and, you know, join in the boisterous celebration, it tells me, hey, everyone that's on the pitch right now is bought in. And I think stuff like that, maybe not just the facial expressions, but things like that, those little, you know, behavioral details tell me, hey, this team has some togetherness to it.
Yeah, nonsense. You do that in conversation. You do that in tracking the player. You're watching him in games. I mean, they're going to take the guy's face, and they're going to start trying to determine something out of it. And it'll probably spawn a whole bunch of jobs for people, and we'll continue to layer data after data after data. You know, somebody going to gamble on a team because Jamie Vardy does not have a nice face, and you know, are they going to put money on the team based on that or not? I mean, it is kind of bizarre, right? I mean,
oh, that's very strange. I really hope that no one stoops to that level.
Why don't we just put 22 robots out there? I mean, I don't know. And listen, I'm not anti-data either. I pick the data categories to me that I think mean something. Key passes, final third entries. I like all that. I don't like people writing articles and the first thing in the headline of the article is expected goals, because I don't think those are soccer people. I think you're going over the top, and you know, you're putting out these, you know, really clickbait type, you know, full of data and full, you know, let's the art of simplicity. Simplicity is genius. So to glean out of all this data the stuff that's really important to you, as technical directors, as coaches, as coaching staffs, I think that's where it's at. And, you know, the gut feeling, you watch a person, you talk to a person, you watch how he interacts with his teammates. I don't know why you need a close-up of his face to figure out if he's somebody that's bought into a team collective nature or not. You know, I mean, what did Ronaldo's face say when he was clapping when he was benched and Manchester United scored against Liverpool? I could tell you that he was not happy, but he knew he had to probably clap. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think so. I think that it, especially in that case, you're certainly on the right track.
All right. Here's Paulo Nagamura on the team played well, but the mental errors again let us down.
In general, I think our team was very good. Defensively solid. Great couple opportunities offensively. I think it was a very hard-fought game. I think we had a plan going to the game. I think we executed pretty well for the most part. Frustrating because I think what we did today, I think it's, again, it's another game that how can you not get out of this game with something? And I think that's been a lot of times same story, same of our season. But to be honest, I think our team played really well. I think they fought. I think they defend well for the most part. And some mental errors there, again, made us come out of this game feeling like crap.
So that was Paulo Nagamura. Now that was post-match, by the way. I just want to clarify that. That was post-match against Minnesota United, the 2-1 loss, where, again, the Dynamo controlled the match. But when you control a match, you want to finish a match. You want to take what is yours. And the Dynamo just have this soft underbelly of not having the focus, the concentration, the mental strength to get it done. It's a real struggle, and you feel for them. Now, we look about and we talk about the lack of support around Sebas Ferreira. And you're squeezing everything you possibly can out of the Houston Dynamo. The numbers around Sebas Ferreira, the creating of chances, the focus on trying to set your center forward up, I don't think it's there with this group of players. I really don't. Darwin Quintero, by the way, came on late in that game. I just don't think it's there. There is a way of bringing a player like that into your team. I just don't know if it's there. And if you look at Maxi Arruda, here's a good example, because Maxi started, like we've mentioned, like a house on fire last year. Faded away. So did the play in the final third to a large degree. Not from lack of effort. Not from lack of effort this year either. Quality and creating enough quality opportunities and, you know, getting individuals that can determine and win you games. And if you look at, you know, who's doing a lot of the creating and setting up teams in Major League Soccer, you're talking about designated players. Driussi's won 19 goals. Gazdag is a Hungarian on the Union. He's got 16. Hani Mukhtar has 16. He's a DP. Jesus Ferreira is a DP. He's got 15. Ramel Quioto, by the way, in Montreal has 15. I did mention Brandon Vasquez, who's kind of been big up there. But there is no question the Houston Dynamo have got to get a definitive winger. I've said this over and over. Just my humble opinion. Definitive playmaker. It's not easy, but you got to get him. And it was always going to be a bit of a challenge trying to squeeze it out with the current roster, despite spending a lot of money on a center forward. Hector Carrera is going to need help, too. You know, he needs two better players in front of him to get the best out of him. And by the way, he's a question mark for tomorrow. I think Paulo Nagamura mentioned he's a question mark. This is MC5. We're going to go to break. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, and it is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, Daspit Law Austin. .com. We got Danish Dynamite to come with Jan Christensen. We thank Advantage BMW, Kobos, and everybody for your great support of this show tonight. Caller number 3 right now. We'll get you a pair of tickets to the Dynamo LAFC tomorrow night. It's on AT&T Sportsnet as well.
are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. As always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Hey, our newest sponsor is Cobo Zanito in the shadows of both PNC Stadium and Minute Maid Park. Cobos is owned by H-Town Proud's Raul Jacobo. Great open space, clean as a whistle inside, I can tell you. You could eat off the floor. This is going to be the place to watch World Cup 2022. And you know what? Tomorrow night, get in there, check out the Houston Dynamo against LAFC on AT&T Sportsnet if you don't make it to the stadium, or go in there pre-match or post-match. Like I said, this is going to be the place to watch World Cup 2022. Let's talk food and drink there. They've got the best in smoked barbecue quesadillas, birria quesadillas as well, smoked pork belly, and a variety of great cocktails and a large beer selection. They're always running specials down at Cobo Zanito. Get in, watch on the 14 crystal clear monitors, the Dynamo, Dash, Astros, Rockets, Texans, and World Cup 2022, all your international soccer. You ask them for soccer, they will get it on the monitor for you. It's Cobos in Edo. All right, our Liga MX expert is Rodrigo de Luna. Here's our conversation. We talk about the demise of Cruz Azul and what's going to happen with the Mexican national team and Tata Martino after the severe injury to Tecatito Corona. Rodrigo, thank you very much for coming on the show as always.
Man, how are you today?
Doing great. I want to get into Cruz Azul. I know historically, growing up as a young man, you were a big Cruz Azul fan. I want to just talk about kind of this incredible sort of series of events that has occurred. You know, they finally win the title in 2021-22. The manager, Juan Reynoso, is a former player from Peru who comes back, leads them to glory. It's a great team. He's a Cruz Azul legend, their first title in 24 years. And then inexplicably, management, ownership, decides to basically gut and sell off this championship team. Is this simply commercial? What happened here? Take us through this.
Well, Glenn, as you know, the next step, you know, like all Latin America, is corruption. Liga MX is no exception, like a lot of leagues in South America, unfortunately. There's a lot of money generated in Mexico. You yourself know that. You've been down there, and you've seen the games, and you look at the people down there. There's a lot of money generated in selling players overinflated prices and under the table cuts as a part of the business there. Cruz Azul, when Juan Reynoso took over, he didn't bring anybody in. He used the squad he had, and he made them play well, and they only lost one game in that championship. But you know, there's money to be made in selling players and buying players at overinflated prices. And that's what happened. Cruz Azul pays very well. Mexico pays very well. And they bring in players that are not up to the rejects, basically rejects from South American clubs. And this is what happens. So this team is disbanded. It's most of the players are sold. Reynoso is pushed out of the club. They bring in a guy I've never heard of, Diego Aguirre, to manage the team. And you see the results.
Yeah, he's already been fired. Club America hammered Cruz Azul 7-0. The guy only lasted 100 games here, and I'm sorry, it was fired after 100 days. Excuse me, there were protests. Okay, so here's where I get conflicted here, because there is money in winning championships too, right? There is money in building a championship team over a number of years. So they elect to, is this the easy way out and just go commercial and gut the team and sell everybody, bring in a lot of money and think you're going to do it again that easily?
The thing about this, Glenn, when these things like this happen, the club doesn't benefit. It's the people at the top, the four or five people at the top who run things. They're the ones that benefit. It's their pockets that get lined. The club suffers. The fans suffer. You know, and for school fans, me included, you know, we've suffered humiliation after humiliation. Five finals lost until Reynoso came in. And now here we are with the worst drubbing in Cruz Azul history by a hated rival, Club America. Yeah. So that's a spot, a stain that won't be washed away for a while, because this, everybody knows, fans know it, everybody knows this is business as usual.
Cruz Azul, by the way, who has just recently won that title, is now 17th out of 18 teams in Liga MX. Is this the kind of thing that, you know, we see all these connections between MLS, the president of Liga MX saying, you know, he's very concerned about the growth of Major League Soccer and keeping up with them. Is it these types of incidences now that really are kind of in a lot of ways telling us what Liga MX is about? And maybe this is also a reason why the gap is narrowing between the two countries and their two respective leagues.
The people who run Liga MX, the people who run the Mexican national team, Televisa, and those are only concerned with money. They're not concerned with the growth of the sport. They're not concerned with bringing up new Mexican talent. Their drive is to make money any way possible. They don't care about the sport. They don't care about the fans. It's about their pockets and their level of influence. That's the reality of it. This is why Mexico will never, until there's a change in the hierarchy, and there's a change, you bring people in who, like it used to be, people that love the sport, like to reach along with Cruz Azul, Team Mark, and get more out of Macias. They put their own money, they love the sport, they want to see young players come up. Until that goes back, then it's going to be the same. MLS will surpass Liga MX if things continue the same way.
Rodrigo De Luna joining us, our Soccer Matters Liga MX expert. By the way, in the Liga MX table right now, very competitive. Monterrey, Toluca, Tigres. Monterrey and Toluca on 21 points, Tigres on 20, America Santos on 19, and then there's Pachuca at 18. So it's a six-team race right now. So there is a lot of competition there. All right. I get the sense when I talk to you that you are not at all in favor of this, how close the two leagues are coming. And I do understand it's business between Major League Soccer and Liga MX. I think most people do. But, you know, whenever you hear that combined talk of the two leagues, I'm with you. I love them both having their separate identities. I don't want to see this become nebulous and cloudy with two leagues.
Glenn, the Mexican League should be in Mexico. The MLS should be in the United States. We have the CONCACAF Champions League, where the best teams in both leagues compete for the honor of going to the World Cup of Clubs and representing CONCACAF on the club level. That's the way it's been. That's where it should be. I am not interested, in fact, in actually, because I know what it's about. It's about money. It's about commercialism. It's about marketing. It's wrong. It's another globalist-style money grab. I am against it. And as much as I love the Mexican League, as much as I love Cruz Azul, it's my team, I will not watch it. I will not support it. I will not watch it because I know what it's about, and it's destroying. You know, this greed and commercialism and marketing, and so it's destroying football as a whole, in my opinion. In my humble opinion, it's destroying our game because now money and marketing become the primordial goal for directors.
Some teams, Rodrigo, have done a better job of rebalancing the commercial side of it, which we all know has to be a part of it, but also not lost their identity as a football club. Now, I can look at some clubs and say, yeah, that's a purely commercial club, whether that's MLS, whether that's Liga MX, whether that's any of the top leagues in Europe. I can make a judgment. Yeah, that club is more about commercial.
Yes.
But then the clubs that really are better run, have a better vision, and can combine both the great history from a football side, remain a football club, but also can do very well commercially, obviously.
You see the teams in Mexico that are doing that. Pachuca's number one, what they've accomplished. First Mexican side to win a South American championship, their Hall of Fame. The best players lately have come out of Pachuca. Club America's done things right. Tigres and Rayals from Monterrey have done things right. You have other clubs that are looking to do that. But, you know, also on the same side, there is the undercurrent of political corruption. A lot of these teams are tied into politicians, the politics in Mexico. The beer companies and Coca-Cola in Mexico pretty much run things. That they're the money behind everything. There's all kinds of ties to that. You see also that the networks, Televisa, TV Azteca, they run things also. So even though a lot of clubs are doing things right, there's still that undercurrent of political and financial corruption. And the Mexican league is very competitive. That's one thing it has. It's a competitive league. It's fun to watch. I'm not saying because I'm Mexican, but it is. But I'm the first one to tell you it's corrupt. It needs to be a change. And, you know, Glenn, you and I talk about this every 4 years, every time the qualifiers come.
True.
I always say, God, Glenn, I hope Mexico doesn't qualify. Because that's the only way we'll have a house clean. What happened when U.S. didn't qualify for the 2018 World Cup was the best thing that happened to U.S. You got rid of absolute
cleansing. And, you know, after the initial upset of that not qualifying, I just said, wow, this could be a huge opportunity. We can now accelerate Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, all these young talents, clean this thing up, freshen it up. And we actually, I think, at this moment look a little bit better than Mexico going into the next World Cup in Qatar.
Undoubtedly, Glenn. And, you know, it's what it is, Glenn. And, you know, young Mexican players are out there. They're great talents, but they'll never get a shot because it's more financial gain to bring in reject players from South America and sell them at an inflated value where people line their pockets. You know, people complain
because of agents' fees and all the things that are going on in the background.
You know, Pachuca is the only club that's bringing up Mexican talent. And you say what you will about Chivas. And people complaining because they only feel Mexican players. Well, that's the only way Mexican players can get a chance to compete because in all markets, you know, now I'm not bad mouthing foreign players. Tigres bought well with Guignac. Monterrey has brought in good talent. Cruz Azul has brought in great South American talent at times through some of their best players in history have been South Americans, along with some of the old Mexican players. Club America's brought in good, they brought in well, but the majority is that there's money to be made in these transfers.
Okay, I got that. Rodrigo De Luna joining us, our Liga MX expert. We got about 3 minutes, so we're going to have to hit this hard here. Mexico will play Poland, Saudi Arabia, and Algeria in the World Cup. Obviously, everybody knows they are coached by Tata Martino. They just got a huge blow, Rodrigo, as you know, Tecatito Corona fracturing his fibula, left ankle damage. The question is, who's going to replace him? And there's a lot of guys that I think are lining up for this. Diego Lainez, Ariel Antuna, Orbelin Pineda, Alexis Vega. Who do you think is going to jump out of that pack and be the guy that replaces Corona? You know, because we know Corona, with all that dribbling ability, the breakdown capability, the speed, very, very talented guy. Who do you think is the front runner to potentially replace him? And, you know, we're saying this a ways out here. There's a potential of injury. It may be just about form. But who, in your opinion, do you like?
Well, you know, there's also another kid called Marcelo Flores that plays in Europe. He's a young kid.
But isn't he like 18?
Yeah, yeah. The thing about all these players we just talked about right now, Glenn, they can all do the job, but it depends if they can adapt to Tata Martino's direction in such a short time, because he has to change something. Dr. Martino has to change some things up because Mexico struggled for the world in qualifying for the World Cup. Though they came out second place next to Canada, they still didn't convince anybody that they're ready for a World Cup. So, whoever steps in this place is going to have a challenge in adapting to that style and changing. Whereas because Mexico's also become predictable when they play, you know, just the way they play.
All right, so Chucky Lozano's still there. Still have Raul Jimenez, who I don't think has gotten back to his form after that really scary injury here. And we got about a minute and a half. I want to toss in another name who's playing at Monterrey on loan from, believe it or not, Inter Miami. And I think his career dipped a little bit after that whole Inter Miami deal. And that is Rodolfo Pizarro. Where do you see him?
I think he's still a good player. I just think my Golden Balls FC is just not a good club for anybody to go to.
Come on, man. We like Beckham.
I will never call him Inter. Sorry, I'm an Inter Milan fan. I will never call him Inter. I prefer to call him Golden Balls FC.
You know, I do love how strong your comments are. And you know, we do love you getting right to the core of things. You don't mess around. So you think Inter Miami should have been called Golden Balls FC?
Anything but Inter. I just don't agree with that. Miami's not that diverse a city, really.
America, we've adapted all these things, you know.
Yeah, well,
FC, Austin FC,
Real Salt Lake. Really, what monarch crowned Salt Lake so they can call themselves Real? Real means royal. That's why you have Real Madrid, Real Oviedo, Real España, because they someone it was a royal figure and monarch who bestowed the title And it only happens in Spain, right? So there is no Real, unless the king of Spain says, hey, guys, you guys, that team in Salt Lake, you know what? Go ahead. You know, here you go. You're royal now. No, I'm sorry. Come on. No. But regardless of the fact, it's
but
just.
But I thought imitation was the greatest form of flattery. What's wrong with imitation?
It depends. It depends how you imitate it. You can take something, imitate it, and make it your own. Or maybe take it to another level. Then I understand you've taken something as an influence, not as a direct imitation. Take and make it an influence. Yes, we were influenced by this club, but we made it our own unique type of deal. But anyone who knows anything about football, only in Spain you have Real because Spain is has a monarchy, though they don't rule. They're still very symbolic, very important, like the Queen of England is to the Britons. Now going back to Pizarro. Going back to Pizarro, I think you stay at my Inter Miami different. They're a very flux team. You don't have a steady coaching there. We'll see how he does at Monterrey.
Rodrigo, thank you so much for your time. As always, good, fun interview. You get right to the point. It's always enjoyable to speak with you. Thank you very much for coming on tonight.
Thank you, Glenn. God bless you, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, good stuff there with our Liga MX expert, Rodrigo De Luna. We appreciate that very, very much. We're going to take a break here. As we do, we remind you to head over to 2775 Fondren for the best in modern contemporary furniture. It's Danish inspirations. They should be on your bucket list of modern contemporary furniture shopping. Jan has just gotten back. You know him, Jan Christensen. He just got back from FC Copenhagen's UEFA Champions League match. And by the way, they made it to the group stages, FC Copenhagen. DanishInspirations.com to see the wide selection, the stressless line, best in modern contemporary furniture. It is presented by the great Dane himself, Jan Christensen, and DanishInspirations.com. Danish Inspirations, modern contemporary furniture. They have been longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We'll take a break. We have more to come.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Wow, this has been a great night of soccer talk here on the radio here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Quick word here for Advantage BMW in Midtown. Now, if you go down to Advantage BMW in Midtown, you seek performance, you find luxury at Advantage BMW in Midtown. You'll also experience premier service tailored to you. Excellence at Advantage BMW Midtown isn't just offered, it's expected. The service center is dedicated to putting your time first. The expert sales team, they're going to help you find, doesn't matter if you want a new, if you want a certified pre-owned or pre-owned vehicle, they will help you find it. Discover something special. Discover your hometown Advantage at San Jacinto and Gray or at AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Go down there, see my friend Justin, see my friend Steven at Advantage BMW in Midtown. By the way, you know what I love about the sponsors on this show? They're all people that I have personal relationships with, and they've been a long time dedicated to this show, and we appreciate that. Okay, we're going to finish in a big way here tonight. U.S. international legend. He is Tab Ramos, former coach of the Houston Dynamo, just named the head coach of Hartford Athletic in the USL Championship, and Tab joins us now. Well, Tab, finally got you here, an interview we set up a while ago. I appreciate you coming on, and I like you coming on at a moment of good news. You're back in the coaching game now, Hartford Athletic USL Championship. Tell me how that came down, and maybe tell me, why now and why Hartford?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me on again. It was always I always enjoyed being on your show. I know we scheduled this a while back, and it just worked out that it just works out right after I decided to take this job. I'm really excited about it. I've said this before in other interviews, but this game forgets you fast. I've been out of coaching for 9 months now, and it's been a long 9 months after coaching for 17 straight years, and I felt like I had to get back on the field. So I'm really happy to be back and starting the end of this week, I can start training with the new team.
Tab Ramos, now the coach of Hartford Athletic in the USL Championship. You just had a great quote. This game forgets you fast. Take me into that a little bit more from your perspective.
Yeah, you know, first of all, the you know, coaching and staying current, it's important. You know, I feel like if you don't coach for a year and a half, 2 years, you're sort of in the back and forgotten about. And then, you know, taking that into more detail, the game does forget you. You know, I mean, think about the coaches that were coaching in MLS 2 years ago who are not back. You kind of forget them. You forget they're even around. You know, you sort of think, okay, the guys that are getting fired now will get, you know, they'll get new jobs. But you forget the guys that were let go before, you know, like the year before that. So I think it's important to stay current, to stay busy, to keep working. I think the best way to get a job is to have a job. And that's, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. I understand that this game, no matter who you are or who you think you are, if you stay away from it, people forget you fast.
Now, I know you love being on the fields, that element of it. You and I had talked a couple months ago, and, you know, I knew you were fielding offers from potential suitors. And I was kind of, after I hung up, I'm like, okay, I wonder how long it's going to take Tab to get back and get the itch and to be back on the field. Is that part of accepting this job that, look, you know, you got to get back out there, out of sight, out of mind, to your point?
No question. I mean, when you and I spoke the last time, I think it was back in June, I had been speaking with a couple different USL teams. But of course, like every coach, you know, I was waiting for the perfect opportunity. You know, I was contemplating the fact that, you know, some MLS teams might be interested, that in the middle of the season, some MLS teams make changes. And then sort of as the middle of the season has gone through, I really feel like I don't want to wait until the end of the year. I feel like that would be too long. I just want to get back on the field as soon as possible. And I had been speaking with this particular club for a couple months now, and in particular with Ray Reed. And Ray is the one who really, I don't want to say convinced me, because I don't think, you know, I think it's disrespectful to say that someone can convince you to go to a club. I think this club has a great fan base, and I think it's in a good spot to begin a new project. It's practically a new club. It's only been around for about 4 years. And so I think it's a great opportunity for me to put sort of all of my experiences together and to help the club in many different ways. Of course, you know, the number one way is that I have to get results on the field. That's really what matters. But I think I can help this club develop a really strong foundation for the future.
Okay, before we get into that, and I do want to talk about their roster and kind of what, you know, type of culture you're going to try to build there, where you're going to be working, I'm sure, even beyond just actually managing and coaching the team. But just about your experience in MLS. Look, it started tough, pandemic. You know, you had a lot of time here in Houston. What you learned from it, and since you've had some time to process it, right? It's always great to get away, and then you start realizing different things. I know that happens to me a lot. How about what you have learned from that experience?
Yeah, it was great. You know, so first of all, I have to say that I really enjoyed my time in Houston. You know, I enjoy the fans there. I know that, you know, the results were not there, but I really do feel like the staff I had, and myself, we really gave everything we had for that club. And unfortunately, it didn't work. There was a lot of things that I can look back at now and say that I think I might have gotten wrong. And I think one of the things was, you know, when I met with ownership there, you know, I promised that we were going to have a certain style of play. And that certain style was going to be that we were going to come after teams regardless, whether we played home or on the road or wherever. And I think I stuck to that. And I think I stuck to that past the point where I should have. I think there should have been a point where I played a little bit more conservative, where I changed things up so that we would at times play not to lose rather than only to win. And I didn't do that. And I think I should have. And I think that I should have changed some things around. And these last 9 months have given me an opportunity to kind of look back on everything I had done in Houston and things that I had done before Houston as well, and sort of eliminated a lot of the things that I don't want to move forward with.
But that's such a fine line, isn't it? I mean, it is kind of hindsight in a way. It's such a fine line when you're trying to build a long-term culture, but then you maybe have to pull off those results. Wilmer Cabrera pulled off those results. I remember that because he was trying to implement the same style of play as you. And then he realized, you know, hey, I got some wingers who maybe don't want to do it without the ball. Let's turn into a counterattacking team. So I have to think that's one you really wrestle with, right?
Yeah. I have a, you know, I have a tough time with that, you know, because I just always feel as a coach, you know, when, as a coach, when you review the games, you're not actually reviewing the game according to the score. You're watching actual chances. Are we creating opportunities? How are we getting scored on? You know, and then you look at the game that way. So a game that we might have lost 3-2 in the last minute, I might have come in the next day and talked to the players about how great we were that day, because we were. And maybe we lost a goal. We lost a game in a mistake at the end, which actually happened quite a few times. But I look at the game that way, and I think that, that's the only way you can look at it.
Todd Ramos joining us here, just named the head coach of Hartford Athletic in the USL. All right. So overall, you know, just talk a little bit about the roster of the club, attendance, kind of the things that are going on there, and some of the things that have you excited about this opportunity.
I mean, the first thing was really Ray Reed, you know, having the conversations with Ray. You know, Ray has been a winner for decades now. You know, as you know, he was with UConn for 25 years. You know, he's a well-known individual nationwide, but in particular in Connecticut, he's a huge figure. You know, the fans of this club, Hartford Athletic, you know, it's a team that has been having sellout after sellout at home. You know, it has a stadium that only seats about 5,500 to 6,000, but they're selling it out, you know. And as I understand, I think our next home game, which is September 10th, may already be sold out. So I think there's a lot of fan support. So I think that, you know, that's one of the things that USL has at the moment, and a bunch of clubs, they have a lot of fan support. And I think that's a great way to start. So those were things that were really important, because I think a club can have a future when it has a strong fan base. And Connecticut has been known for having great fans.
Yeah, good soccer state as well. Now, is that your debut as a coach on the 10th against Tulsa?
Correct. Yeah, that'll be the success.
Well, maybe that's why it's also selling out again, too. I would imagine there are going to be people coming to see Todd Ramos coaching.
It could be, you know, it could be. But at the same time, obviously, you know, the club has been selling out. So I really don't think it's me.
All right. Well, you're a humble man. I know that. Todd Ramos joining us here tonight. So let's talk about USL, because, you know, I know the push for Major League Soccer has been to MLS Next and two teams. And, you know, I always look at the USL and I say, wow, this is so positive for soccer in this country. Player development opportunities, coaching opportunities, front office, marketing, markets that, you know, maybe are different markets, but they're all spreading the lore of the game. They have environments, though, to your point, at Hartford. 6,000 a game in an intimate building is great, healthy pressure for players, great, healthy pressure for a coach. Do you think some of that is lost in MLS Next now, since, you know, there aren't USL teams competing with those young guys? The environment and the importance of environment.
Yeah, of course. I think what will end up happening is, you know, I think MLS Next Pro is a great project, and it's one that every club should have. At the same time, it'll fall below, obviously, USL. So I still believe that a lot of the MLS clubs who believe certain players will not be moving to the first team during a season, they will get a lot more experience out of playing in the USL rather than playing MLS Next Pro. So I think that, you know, obviously those young players will lose by not being in the USL, but I think it's a good move for MLS.
Exciting stuff. Todd Ramos is the head coach at Hartford Athletic in the USL. The time period you were off, I mean, not just the coaching side of it, but you had mentioned to me, hey, it was so great to be back with your family in New Jersey. Just other things that may have entered your mind when all of a sudden it gets quiet, right? I mean, when you're coaching a Major League Soccer team, you're probably not sleeping half the nights. Now, all of a sudden, you got a little more time. What did you find? What did you reflect on maybe outside of the game? And how important was it for you maybe to get a little time period of quiet?
Yeah, you're right about the, you know, situation of, you know, coaching MLS. Actually, when I left, I mentioned to John Walker, the president over there, Hughes, I said, you know, I'm sorry for making you have so many sleepless nights. If it helps any, just know that I didn't get any sleep over the last 2 years. Yeah. So that was a fact. Yeah. So it was a good chance for me to come home and, you know, reflect on all the things that had happened, but at the same time, enjoy, you know, being in New Jersey. As you know, I'm very much an East Coast person. I enjoyed being in, you know, down the shore for, most of the summer. It's been, you know, it's amazing here. So I had a lot of, you know, a lot of good times with a lot of friends that I hadn't seen in a couple of years. And I've been able to enjoy my kids, you know, my kids I hadn't really seen, you know, the last 2 years because, you know, unfortunately with the whole COVID situation, I couldn't come home either at any time from Houston. So it's been really on that side, on the family side, it's been great. And then on the, you know, technical and tactical side of reviewing the game and analyzing and correcting, you know, all the things that I had done and be able to, you know, to analyze, you know, some of the things that I had done wrong. It really, the time off really helped me a lot.
Zab Ramos joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Okay, so you are involved with a lot of these young, talented players now. We're basically in unprecedented times that are going to represent us in the World Cup in Qatar coming up. You will also be doing a lot of commentary on Telemundo. I can break that news. But, you know, how interesting is this for you now, having worked with all these young guys? And when you look at this moment, you look at the group, you know, what do you see right now as someone who really was a part of the development of a lot of these young guys and also saw them a couple years ago and are looking at them now playing at the top clubs in the world and the top leagues in the world?
You know, I'm very proud of all these players. You know, I'm very happy that I've been able to play a small part in what, you know, where they are. You know, as a youth national team coach, you see them very little, to be honest. But I did get an opportunity to get to know all of them as people. And that's really important to me, as, you know, as all the players who have played for me know. You know, in particular, this team is exciting for me because, you know, it has a good heart. You know, if you look at the middle of the team, if you look at McKinney, Tyler Adams, and Musa, that's the heart of the team. That's the middle of the team. I think that's a middle three that can match up with pretty much any team in the world. And I know that's saying a lot, but I really do feel like that we have a really good engine in the middle, and that's important.
Are you talking specific physically or physically and cerebrally?
No, I think mostly physically. Mostly physically, those guys are a great engine. And I think that gives the coach an opportunity to make other changes. You know, so when you look at the team now, I don't particularly think that defensively it's a strong national team. I think attacking-wise, there's a lot of question marks. Obviously, Aronson is playing his way right now to being a starter. But I really see those three middle guys as the guys that are going to make the thing tick. And then up front, you know, it'll be the coach's decision on whether Pulisic would play with Aronson or Weah or whoever. And then in the back, obviously, you know, we know that, you know, Robinson on the left side is the one who has been the most consistent over the last year and a half. And the other three spots are still question marks, you know. So I think I'm excited about that middle part of it. And I think that's an important part because I think most teams lack that area.
Zab Ramos joining us here. We're talking about the World Cup. You know, when you reflect and you think of the resources you had when you were on the national team and to where we are now, it really is like remarkably different.
Do you mean when I played?
Yeah, I mean, just the care of the athlete, you know, just it just seems so it's like light years away now, the advancements of how these players are treated and the fact that now, look, we've evolved as a soccer playing nation and we have kids that are playing at very young ages on monster clubs and they're starting.
Yeah, I mean, it's no question. It's a different world than the one I came up in through the national team. You know, these guys are so much, you know, the players now are so much better prepared. They have access to so many different areas that we didn't, you know, whether it's psychological, you know, high performance, you know, like these are all things that, you know, a lot of the times for us, to be honest, when we started with the national team, you know, you warm up, you know, jogging around and stretching your quads and, you know, almost like, I don't want to say like a Sunday league, but it was much closer to that, you know, and just the best players played. That was just the bottom line. Now there's so many different components to being part of a national team, but let's be honest. So, you know, other countries have progressed as well. So it's not like we've been progressing and everyone's just watching us come through. I mean, other than Central America, which has had a hard time keeping up, with the rest of the world. And I think they're likely further behind than they were before. I think, you know, European teams, you know, have access to everything we have access to. South American teams now do as well. So it's tough catching up with that upper echelon of teams, you know, and I think we're in a good spot, but I taking those next couple of steps are really, really difficult and will take a long time.
Tab, as always, thank you very much. I got one fun question for you before you go, because you told me you were down at the Jersey Shore, and anybody who grew up in New Jersey, just like me, a lot of your family vacations were at the Jersey Shore. Okay. So I'm thinking you might've played a little beach soccer. Am I right?
I kicked the ball around a little bit, but okay. I would say play. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm sure you still got it. Yeah. Tab, yeah. Thanks so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure. I also want to thank you for all the access you gave me personally when you were down here in Houston. That meant a lot to me, and it also helped us really promote the team. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Clint.
So that does it for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 here tonight. Again, a reminder, our presenting sponsor is John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they are committed to working for you. Just give them a call, 713-322-HURT, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. It is DaspitLaw.com. Podcast of this show at ESPN975.com. Always a big thank you. Big piece of this show. He is Andrew Carlson, Guillermo as well. We thank both of them for all their efforts in making this show the best they can be. And we thank you for listening in. And again, remind you, the podcast at ESPN975.com. Okay, until next Tuesday night, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.